Welcome to the Montgomery County Department of Permitting Services podcast. I am Gail Lucas, your host. I'm also the chief of the DPS Customer Support and Outreach Division. Joining us for this, our fifth podcast, is DPS Code Compliance Section Manager Greg Nichols. Hi, Greg.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Greg, you supervise the code compliance team at DPS. Please tell us a little bit about your background, your work in Montgomery County, and some of the local issues your team handles for customers. Is this a busy time of year for zoning compliance?
Oh, yes, absolutely. A little bit of my background, I've been with DPS for over 20 years and came up through the ranks of being in the field for many, many years and then a field supervisor and now manager. And my experiences with the land development section, pretty much all kinds of construction from the ground up over the years. And then somehow or another, we got into zoning. Actually through one of our components of our zoning enforcement, which is the Certified Site Plan Compliance Program. And then we morphed into and were consolidated into a division. So zoning has its own division, which is kind of unique in the DMV. A lot of jurisdictions don't have a one-stop shop zoning organization where you can come and find your answers. And we like to say a lot of times we basically have two components. One for the people that are asking for permission, like they want to find out what they can do with their property. And then unfortunately is my side of the aisle, and that's for people who've done something and they may be now asking for forgiveness because someone's complained. We've done an investigation and we unfortunately have to get involved. So DPS offers that, and it's a very unique opportunity. As far as just being busy time of the year, yes, this is the time of year where people are at home making improvements to their to the outside, either installing fences, sheds, decks, play equipment. They get involved in doing all kinds of improvements, and this is typically when their neighbors contact us and say, "Hey, is what my neighbor doing legal?" And that's how we get involved. And that either comes through our 311 program through the county or to our website.
One of the questions we often get in customer support, and it's one of the, I'll say it's one of the more fun questions we get in customer support, is about chickens or farm animals. Believe it or not, in Montgomery County, not necessarily on farms, but we have folks that keep chickens, that keep farm animals, and you get a lot of questions. Why don't you talk to us about what is the difference between farming and urban farming, and what should our listeners know about these uses, and are they allowed in Montgomery County?
All right. So before I get into that, what I want to do is, instead of this trying to be some kind of dry, citing, various specific ordinances, I just want everybody to know, either through our website, DPS's website has many ways to find a link to Chapter 59 zoning. And if they don't want to do that, you can simply Google or search Montgomery County, Maryland, Chapter 59 zoning, and you'll see an AM legal website pop up. And that's who basically keeps track of all our codes being current. So instead of just, citing chapter and verse here, I want to give an overview so that you kind of understand. There are two definitions of farming in our zoning ordinance. And the definition of farming itself is a very comprehensive one. And it, like you said, it includes not only agriculture, but it also is the horticulture part of it with animals and such. And as part of it, it does include the managing or selling livestock, including horses, poultry, fish, game, fur bearing animals, you name it, okay? Farming, by definition, is a very inclusive activity. And believe it or not, it is legal, completely legal, permitted by right. Obviously, in the agricultural areas, in the agricultural reserve zones, but then all single-family residential properties Everything from the rural residential properties to the residential detached dwellings. All single-family home lots, no matter how big they are allowed to do farming. Now, there are provisions, however, as far as like animals being kept and things like that, that prohibit a lot of the smaller residential properties from really engaging. The difference between farming for those properties and what's called urban farming, which is for like all the others, all the townhome properties, what we call residential townhome or residential multi-unit, those residential properties, including the commercial, the employment zones, and the industrial zones, and it's defined really simply, and it's basically what we always think about our backyard gardening and things. It says urban farming means the cultivation of fruits, vegetables, flowers, and ornamental plants, as well as a limited keeping and raising of fowl, which there you go with the chickens, or bees, and the practice of aquaculture. So people keep chickens in their single-family detached dwellings under the definition of farming, and occasionally there is a chance for people to maybe have a chicken or two in the very much smaller residential properties, the townhome type properties, but there are some provisions that may prohibit them, and we can cover that. I think you have another topic that might cover what those prohibitions are.
Well, there are specific rules in Montgomery County about the placement of chicken coops and kind of animal buildings. Yep. What should our listeners know about placing a building or a keep for their urban farm?
We consider all chicken coops, no matter how they're designed, no matter how they're constructed, we're going to call them accessory structures. Okay. And the provision says this: in order to have a chicken coop, it must be 25 feet from any property line. Any property line, and the coop itself must be 100 feet from your nearest neighbor's dwelling. We don't care how close it is to your house, okay?
Okay.
But if it's got to be at least 100 feet, so you can kind of visualize in a townhome community like I live in, I couldn't have a coop because I'm not going to be able to put that coop 25 feet from my property line, and I'm certainly not going to be able to put it 100 feet from my neighbor. So. Okay. Yeah, so that's really going to prohibit me in doing, you know, anything other than something like we do, which is like a small urban farming activity, like growing our own fruits and our own vegetables anyway.
Okay. Another topic in the summertime, spring and summertime, are fences. Yep. And it can be another topic that is mightily important to neighbors, good fences, making good neighbors, and all of that. Yep. What does DPS require for fence permit applications? What should homeowners know about a site plan versus the survey and deer fences? Right. Talk to us a little bit about fences.
We make it fairly easy to get one. First and foremost, if you're replacing a fence in kind of the same material, same height, and the same place, there's no permit required. Second of all, we don't require surveys, though people have surveys. People go to closing and they have some type of site survey that on their property, and it's really great. But other people don't. People that have been living in their homes for decades, they don't have that kind of thing. We don't require it. What we require is what we call a site plan. And that site plan does need to represent what the property looks like, where the home is, and where the property lines basically, you know, are from that structure. And then denote on the site plan exactly where the fence is going to be. And we, through our application process, have the owners certify that their fence is going to be 100% on their property. And that their site plan that they submit to us, we review that as for a permit, and our zoning folks confirm that the fence is in fact delineated inside, just inside their property line. So we don't require surveys, and typically what happens is somebody, you know, starts to install a fence. Luckily, hopefully, they have a permit. Sometimes they don't. Their neighbor sees them putting a fence in, and, you know, we have to go out there, and we allow, you know, people to retroactively pull permits and things like that. But I just want to give a definition of fence. A fence, by definition, is any structure of post and non-masonry connected material. They didn't do us a lot of favors by putting that real general definition in the zoning ordinance, but I will say that we don't get involved in temporary fencing, like people putting things in for their garden and that kind of thing, or something very temporary in nature. We realize that these things are not permanent, but if somebody's affixing something to the ground permanently and they've got the posts and it's not going anywhere, then yeah, that's going to require a permit. The difference between a regular fence and deer fencing can be up to 8 feet high. And it's constructed of open mesh, and there's a specific range, and you can look that up if you want. They sell deer fencing material. A lot of people don't try to construct their own fences. They do have fence companies that do this for a living, and they are professional, and they know the rules. But the specifics are within the zoning ordinance. A lot of people wonder why fences. Fences can be 6.5 feet right up to the property line. And it's because they're exempt. Yeah, they're exempt from a setback. All other structures like sheds and homes and additions and things like that have to have setbacks. In the zoning ordinance, we allow a fence to be 6.5 feet. Now that's measured. That 6.5 feet is measured from your neighbor's side of the fence, not yours. So that we're concerned about if somebody artificially raises a grade. Like, for instance, maybe they put a small retaining wall in, and then they try to put a 6.5 foot fence on top of that. Their neighbor's going to be looking at 8, 9, 10 feet of something, and that's going to be a problem. So, the ordinance is always written to kind of make the rules and to compensate for the impact that whatever we're doing on our property has on our neighbors or on the community at large. So, yeah, so a 6.5 foot fence is what's allowed right inside the property line.
So good fences make good neighbors, and you need to follow the fence rules. You talked a little bit about property lines. What should homeowners know about their property lines?
Okay, well, because up to this point in this year, since January, DPS has already issued well over 1,100 fence permits. And we don't have the staff to inspect all of them by no means. There's just too many of them. Property line disputes are private, and they are civil. We don't have the resources. The county doesn't get involved in a property line dispute. We investigate every complaint we get.
Okay. Well, we're going to pivot a little bit. We're going to go from chickens to parking spaces or parking surfaces. We have a number of homes in Montgomery County where folks pave their front yard or part of their front yard, part of their backyard to create parking. How much of a front yard or how much of your property can be paved?
Okay, so now I will get a little specific. If somebody wants to look up, there's a couple of tools, by the way, that we use and is available to the public. Park and Planning has a wonderful website called McAtlas and mcatlas.org. And you can put your property address in there or someone's address in there, and it'll tell you exactly what the zone for your property is, and that is relative to some of the specifics related to the size and what's allowed to be paved. And again, I don't want to get into too much detail, but I will say that in Chapter 59 of the zoning ordinance, in what we consider Chapter 6, is a lot of the general provisions. And specifically in that Chapter 6.2.5, you're going to find the surface parking requirements and what's allowed and what's not allowed. And basically, in general, for the larger residential single-family type homes, the R200s, R90s and such, they're allowed 30% of their front yard to be paved. However, or it goes to 320 square feet, whichever is greater. So a lot of R200 properties are very big, right? So they're not going to be allowed to pave or to put a parking surface like 30% of a 2-acre front lawn. But they can do up to 320 square feet, if that makes sense. Now, the smaller properties like R60, R40, and this is typical of some of our downtowny neighborhoods that were built after World War II, they're smaller, Cape Cods or smaller dwellings, and they have narrower lots and things. And, people would like to pave as much as they can. They're typically, they're allowed 35% or 320 square feet, whichever is greater. Now, there's a caveat. If the property is located on a primary access road or a primary residential street, then they're going to be allowed to pave up to 50%. So this is where we ask everyone out there, if you don't know for a fact whether you would qualify for something of a 35% nature or a 50% nature, give us a call. And we can absolutely verify. There's a list that we have that we got from the Department of Transportation that clearly tells us where these primary streets exist and these primary residential streets exist and whether or not they qualify for 35 or 50%.
As you know, Greg, DPS is committed to providing excellent customer service, and keeping our customers informed is key to that improving and improved customer service. Do you have any other tips or topics you want to share that may be helpful to our listeners when it comes to the zoning ordinance and the zoning compliance and code compliance?
Well, I know within our division, I can speak for DPS as well, obviously, but we're sort of proud in how quickly we respond to 311. A lot of people may not think that they have good experiences with 311 throughout the county, but in DPS, we monitor it every single day. We have reports that come out every single day telling us, if we have aging complaints coming in. And in zoning, certainly, like I said, we have our two components. We have our one-stop shop at DPS, and my counterpart and her staff is more than capable of answering, can I do this with my property? And every day we see 15, maybe even 20 questions come in. They're inquiries. They're not complaints. They're people asking, can I do this? That's what I suggest. Before anybody invests any money, before they, they get a great idea, even if they see a property and the realtor is selling the property, and let's say there's a particular use on it now. Let's say there's like a landscape contractor on it now or something like that. Don't assume that just because it's there now that it's legal, because without it being complained about and us being able to investigate it, we wouldn't know. So the bottom line is I really would contact us through 311 with their inquiries. And then, of course, if they have a question about their neighbor or they want to file a complaint, they can do that anonymously. We don't, divulge where we get our inquiries from. It's just that simple. It's part of what we've done for all the years that I've been here. People, whoever our customers are, they can complain to us or send us an inquiry, and we will follow up with it.
All good information. Remember, listeners, we are here to help you, our customers, succeed. And if you have questions about the permitting process or zoning, or as Greg says, before you put the money down, before you sign the lease, please reach out to DPS to make sure that you can do what you're wanting to do. You can reach out to our customer support team by calling 311 or 240-777-0311. You can also stop by our office at 2425 Reedy Drive in Wheaton. We're located on the 7th floor, and you don't need an appointment to get in-person assistance. We are open and here to help you. Our office hours are 7:30 a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. Monday through Friday. Greg, thank you. Thank you, man, for joining us today.
And my
thank
pleasure.
You, listeners, for tuning in. Please check out the DPS website at montgomerycountymd.gov/DPS to find information and resources to help you with your next project. Got an idea or a question for an upcoming podcast? We want to hear from you. Email your ideas and questions to dps.podcast@montgomerycountymd.gov. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it with others and subscribe so you can get our latest episodes. Until next time, I'm Gail Lucas. Again, thank you, Greg Nichols. Remember, DPS is your project partner.